Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and Abe Hamilton. On this Wednesday, we thank you for listening to this program. We were talking about gun control last half hour. This is a big, it's been a big issue in our country for a while, those who want to pass gun control laws and those who want to protect the Second Amendment. And the gun control advocates, at least the most extreme of them, they think they think you can take up guns, I guess, Ed. That's the answer is to
We were talking about this during the break. You asked, well, what's their end game? And you kind of talked to John Lott about it too. Would you expect that we could put, in other words, like 300 million guns or something?
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
You couldn't take them all up if you wanted to, but go ahead.
And you're going to find a lot of local law enforcement offices who just, no matter what the federal government says, we're not going to collect.
They
guns.
Got them themselves.
Yeah. So I think. You know, I think that they wish, like a lot of times liberals do, they wish the world was different. So that's the intellectual, you know, world in which they live. You know, we wish that there were no guns. So we're going to argue for gun control and try to limit it and increase taxes on ammunition and guns and stuff and try to limit the number of people who have it. But they just wish it was different.
What do you think, Abe? What's their end game with this? Don't you think they use it as, I'm talking about liberals, as a political football in this way? They know what Ed and I are just talking about. You can't take up all people's guns. You do have the Second Amendment, and people aren't going to give them up. So, as I said, that horse has left the barn a long time ago. However, if you're a liberal and you say to yourself, I can convince some of Americans that the Republicans are against any kind of, quote, reasonable gun control laws, which would make our society safer, and therefore I gain politically from that position and make them look bad.
Yeah.
I do think
that's part of it. But I also think it's important to note that if you look at all of the historical movements of Marxist communistic ideology prior to mass exertion of authority in a totalitarian style, it was always preceded by gun grabs. You go to Pol Pot, you go to Hitler, you go to Stalin. One of the major things they have in common is gun grabs prior to massive exertions of tyrannical authority. And when you've seen that, it's a frightening thing, which is why part of the reason why the founders, I believe, promulgated the right to not only bear, but to keep and bear
arms.
It's
the Second Amendment.
It's the second, following
freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Exactly. You next have the right to keep and bear arms because the founders were keenly aware that if you have a people that cannot protect themselves, it leaves people privy to an overbearing government. To your, what I think is really salient point, what that reporter made. Okay, if you are so pro Second Amendment, are you willing to put a sign outside of your house saying that there are no guns here? Of course they're not. They wouldn't be willing to do that. Why? Because it is an invitation for anybody who will want to assert,
right,
tongue in cheek here, authoritarian, tyrannical activity.
Right. Right.
So,
where do you think a bad guy is going to go? Maybe he wants to rob a house. Okay,
yeah. You know
he's
it.
And he's down looking down the neighborhood. And one guy has a sign saying "No guns here."
It's an invitation to home invasion,
which is the point.
Or at least robbery, because you
the
know
point.
Even if you come up on
do
somebody,
it.
Right?
You remember when this is 10 years ago or so? Carl Rowan was a very he was a nationally syndicated
Washington Post,
yes, right. Nationally syndicated columnist, a very liberal guy. He lived in Washington D.C. and he was pro gun control.
Right.
Well,
I remember this.
Well, what happened was, one night there were two teenage boys rummaging through his backyard, and he got scared, Carl Rowan did, and got out his gun that he wasn't supposed to have.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know that he used it. I think he did.
I think he fired like a warning shot or something.
Yeah.
And of course,
and they left. I don't think he had to hurt anybody, but
right.
But it was he got Hypocrite of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think, because here he was advocating gun control for everybody, but when his home was threatened, guess what Mr. Gun Control did? He got out his gun that he wasn't even supposed to have.
Illegal. That's right. Illegal
you
gun.
You remember that? Carl yeah. Rowan. Was, yeah. You can look it up. R-O-W-A-N.
And take this into consideration. Consider the absolute lunacy when we are debating gun control simultaneously with the threats from Islamic terrorism.
Yes. Good point.
How ridiculous.
Yeah.
How ridiculous
yeah.
is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the liberal mindset. Let me also dispense with another argument that the gun control people, and even a lot of gun rights people, a mistake. In my opinion, this is a mistake. They'll say that the founders and, you know, thus the Second Amendment gives us the right to have guns for hunting, okay, that no one has the right to take it. That is not why the Second Amendment was written into the Constitution. Every one of the Bill of Rights, which are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, every one of them were written and used as an encouragement for the states to sign and to ratify the Constitution. Every one of them were written as protections against centralized government power.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, which it is, clearly the historical reason for those 10 amendments, then it had nothing to do with hunting.
Yep.
The Second Amendment was not the founders saying you have a right to have a gun so you can hunt and kill food for your family. No, it was First Amendment protection in five areas against centralized federal government power. Second Amendment, same thing. So the Second Amendment is not only for a state to have a militia to protect themselves against the centralized federal government. It was for individuals
yes.
to have guns to protect themselves against the potential power. That was the only way they could get the states to ratify, especially small states, mm-hmm. to ratify the Constitution. We're afraid the centralized federal government will gain too much power. We want to make sure states are protected from that. That's why the Second Amendment was added, and that's why it's second.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That was Ed Battagliano. Very well said. I'm Tim Wildman with Abe Hamilton. Hey, we got some good news, folks, coming up right now. You remember in April, or I think it was April.
It was April.
The Target retail chain announced to the world that they were changing, that their bathroom and changing room policy would now include men being allowed into women's dressing rooms and bathrooms. They championed that. They said, this is a great idea to let men into women's restrooms and changing areas, and we want the world to know we're leading the way here. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? There was a backlash unlike anything I've seen in a long time. And American Family Association initiated a boycott of Target. We put it on the web, the internet, boycott Target, because of this. We did it because we thought this is a horrible idea, and we certainly didn't want to see this become a trend across the country where stores adopted this policy, and we thought it was dangerous. And so we initiated a boycott. Within 1 week, there were 1 million people that signed this. This was just unbelievable. I mean, this was far beyond anything we had been a part of before here at AFA. And we over our near 40-year history, we've been involved in boycotts before, but nothing to match the reaction here. So there's a lot of anger, a lot of people upset, a lot of people thought this is stupid, terrible. We don't want to see other companies do this. And so over 1 million people in 1 week signed that boycott Target pledge, and it rocked Target. They maybe wouldn't admit this, I'm sure, but it rocked Target.
Well, they stopped posting on Facebook because
yes.
of the backlash.
Yes.
You
yeah,
know.
Yeah. They shut down.
Right.
Basically, they thought everybody would follow in their footsteps. All the other chains mm-hmm. would follow in their footsteps, and that people would applaud them and they're wonderful company. And they were met with instead great resistance. And so we initiated the boycott. Walker Wildman is in with us because, Walker, we've been waiting. That boycott was initiated in April.
Right, April 21st.
Okay, we're in August now. We've been waiting for – the idea was to impact the sales of Target
yeah.
so that it could show them that there are a lot of people who said, we're not going to shop with you anymore since you did something so stupid.
Yeah.
So did people really, do you think this really has, do we know any numbers to?
Yeah, well, during the first few weeks after the boycott was initiated, Target stock dropped nearly 20%, which is unheard of usually, right. Unless there's crash of the market in 08 or something like that. So their stock market, their stock price crashed, but there wasn't really any other tangible numbers to look at. So we've been waiting on their quarterly earnings report to come out, their second quarterly earnings report to come out, and it came out this morning, and the numbers on this report show exactly what we predicted, and that is that the boycott of Target, over 1 million families not going to Target, has in fact played some role in them losing money.
So 1.4 million now, people, right?
Right.
And we think this represents families. 1.4 million people / families have pledged on our internet site that we have boycott Target. Where can people go and sign that?
AFA.net. You can visit AFA.net. And this morning,
is it easy to find?
Easy to find. AFA.net. It's right at the top of the page in red. But one number this morning that came out is Target saw a 7.2% decrease in revenue this quarter on their report.
As compared to what, this time last year?
Yes, correct. And so you see this, and then this morning,
7.2%.
Yeah.
Percent decrease in revenue compared to last year at this time?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And
whoa.
And beyond that,
people get fired for that.
And beyond that, they saw a 7% decrease in their stock price this morning within 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So this is not good for Target. And what I wrote this morning is you can't have over a million people going to your competitor and shopping instead of coming to your store and that somehow not affect your income.
Well, and just as
Ed, go ahead.
Just as a comparison, the Wall Street Journal had an article out this morning because this is a big day for releasing these kinds of figures. But sales at Target's existing stores fell for the first time in more than 2 years at the company, and analysts had predicted a 0.9% decline in sales. It was actually a 1.1%, so it was a greater decline in sales than analysts expected. And last year, Target's sales during this quarter, second quarter, climbed 2.4%. So compared to last year, it's a difference of more than 3.5%.
You know what this tells me? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people boycotting Target that didn't even sign our pledge, Abe.
Yeah. And those numbers turn out to a reduction in revenue of over $16 billion.
Yeah.
I saw a great comment on underneath the Wall Street Journal article. You know, they were talking about this, and this article, as far as I could tell, never mentioned the boycott.
No, it didn't mention it at all.
But underneath it, almost all the comments were about the boycott. Mm-hmm. And one person said, "Huh, I would have expected a huge increase in transgendered sales because this was the whole point of what Target had done." Now, I do want to clarify, and we do this every time we talk about this, our opposition to Target's policy is not because we thought that transgendered people posed a threat to women and children.
Necessarily.
We believed it was because this policy would open the door to predators, sexual predators.
And voyeurs.
And voyeurs who now have no problem.
And it has.
And it has.
It has.
It has. And another so this is, and now here's the secondary good news here. Not only has Target lost money because people are boycotting them, and we can prove it with these numbers, I think, although they would never admit that. Probably Target would never admit that. Although, if you're a business person, all you care about is monies, and even if you don't care about morals, and you're looking at that, you're looking at Target losing that much money, doing that poorly, and a lot of it's based on potentially this announcement that they were welcoming men into women's restrooms and changing areas. You have to be, I don't know who holds them accountable, their board of directors or whatever, but under normal conditions, had a CEO done something so foolish, you would be fired.
Yep.
Now Target may not fire him, or they may, I don't know, because they may say, he's got to save face because this is a PC issue that we've got to, we just got to take the hit financially because we believe strongly that men ought to be able to go into women's restrooms.
Yeah, and
you, changing areas. Go ahead.
Yeah, you look.
By the way, onenewsnow.com. If you want to read all about this,
yeah,
go to onenewsnow.com. We got the story posted right now. Onenewsnow.com. This is big news, folks, because this proves that people can make a difference. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, and you remember months ago, North Carolina passed a law that essentially said men go to men's rooms and women go to women's rooms on government property.
Yeah.
Not even private businesses, just government property.
Government property.
And so this really Target's decision was to join with some of these like PayPal, and let's publicly shame North Carolina.
I call it piling on.
Yeah, let's pile on North Carolina.
Target wanted to pile on North Carolina to say you're horrible people.
Yeah.
There, and we're gonna you know.
And we're awesome.
We're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Target did this, hoping, like you said, to be a big PR stunt. You know, get a lot of applause. But this totally backfired, and since then, all other corporations, for the most part,
have
been utterly silent.
Right. Yep.
And just like with the homosexual agenda years ago, they used to all file in line and pat each other on the back.
Right.
But they've been utterly silent, and that is because, I believe, of the outrage that this boycott drew.
You know what, folks? This is, again, as Walker just said, this is all about piling on North Carolina. That's what Target wanted to do. They wanted to say North Carolina government officials are bigots and homophobes and they're terrible people, and we want to show we're standing with the trans LGBT community. We Target, and so that's the reason they did this, because you know what, Walker Wildman and I went to Minneapolis, and we met with Target, two senior officials there. A few weeks after the boycott was initiated, and we took them our first 1 million petitions. Now we're up to 1.4 million people on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Go to afa.net who have signed the boycott Target pledge. You can go in there, sign that too, and be a part of this. We encourage you to do that. But we went up there and met with them, and they were gracious and met with us. They were professional. We appreciate that. But we asked them, you know, why'd you do this? You remember me asking her, Walker?
Yeah.
I asked the lady for Target. Again, she was in the executive offices. She met with us. And I said, what provoked it? Why would you make some kind of public announcement on something like this?
A bathroom policy.
Yeah, a bathroom policy. And a changing room. And she said, our customers demanded it, basically. Isn't that what she said?
Yeah. She said, we heard a lot of feedback from our customers.
Yeah. Which, I don't want to call the lady a liar.
I do.
Okay, but I'll let Abe call her a liar. I caught her off guard with that question, I think. And
so it might have been just the first thing that popped in.
Because she's not telling the truth. There was not a clamoring of transgendered people from around America rising up demanding that Target let them into women's restrooms. No. This was, as I said, this was PC stuff to pile on North Carolina, mm-hmm. and to make their own political statement, because Target is a very liberal company, Abe.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it just shows. And following your meeting, I went to the shareholders meeting.
Yeah,
I asked the CEO, Brian Cornell, directly, did you conduct any type of cost-benefit analysis before doing this? And the results of the non-answer were, well, no, they didn't do any analysis. They just waded into this territory.
Right.
You know, just because they felt like they wanted, like you said, pile on North Carolina.
Right.
And so what these numbers are showing is that, no, not only did they not do any cost-benefit analysis, but it's gotten even worse than their predictions. And this second quarter drop is compounding a drop that they already suffered. And that the stat you read about the worst drop since 2014 is when Target hired Brian Cornell in order to reverse.
The CEO.
That's right.
So you went, I need to remind people, you went physically to the shareholders meeting in California.
Yes.
So you were face-to-face with Mr. Cornell and, I guess, other...
And the board of directors.
And the board of directors for
with
Target.
The shareholders in the
and
audience.
You ask him this question. And so there's the CEO, and you said, did you guys do a cost analysis of what this decision would mean to let men into women's restrooms and changing areas? And he said no?
He didn't say no. The words "no,"
what did
but
he do?
He get a non-answer. He hemmed and hawed.
Did he look at somebody else for an answer?
He did. Then he looked to his CFO to ask her. Well, can you answer Mr. Hamilton's question? And she said, "Well, based on what we see, there's been no consequences," which is a non-answer. That didn't answer my question.
I wonder if she's saying that this morning.
I bet she's not.
Well, let me just say it from this Wall Street Journal article. You're talking about chief executive. He's the CEO, right?
Brian Cornell.
CFO. Brian Cornell. He says, he told the Wall Street Journal, he said, quote, "We believe we have the right strategy to restore traffic and sales growth over time." Hmm. And I'm thinking, you're going to be looking for another job. Now, I don't know that Target will fire him because of this policy that they're promoting.
Right.
But he's going to take the fall.
They're in a tough place for this reason, Target is. The CEO, is the CEO or the president?
CEO and the chairman of the board of directors.
Okay, the CEO of the company defended this position to let the men into women's restrooms and changing areas and champion it as a step toward human rights on planet Earth, a great step for human rights on planet Earth.
Step for man.
And they're all in, okay? But it's hurting them, and you can see these numbers, Walker. It hurt them drastically financially, and they may be willing to.
Well, let me just interject here too. I don't want our listeners, for those who may be a little skeptical here. We're not unreasonable. We said, hey, we're fine if you've got that many transgendered people shopping at Target at one time.
Right.
Then have a single occupancy, gender neutral bathroom. That's fine.
It's easy to solve.
But make sure that men use the men's room and women use the women's room. So we're not being unreasonable here.
Yeah. No.
And our whole policy when it comes to these boycotts and asking companies to do certain things is we just want them to stay out of the culture war. Quit weighing in on these things that are so
neutral,
divisive and controversial in America. And if you sell hammers, like y'all have said before, sell hammers. If you sell toilets, sell toilets. If you sell cars, sell cars.
Right.
Stay out of this stuff that's so divisive and dividing in America and operate the business on things that you're supposed to be selling.
Well, Target, I think, you know, some would argue, how do you know this? Well, what we're saying, you can go to the website, afa.net, onenewsnow.com, and read everything we've just talked about for the last few minutes. It's the lead story, onenewsnow.com. But the point is, and this hasn't always been true, and I didn't know what to expect when the boycott was initiated in April. But so far, 1.4 million people/families have signed the Boycott Target Pledge, and we have the results of their quarterly earnings during the boycott. And it's undeniable to me that the boycott of Target has hurt them greatly financially. And so people are saying, if Target, you may say, we welcome men into women's restrooms and changing areas, and we think that's a great idea. But, Walker, a lot of people have said, you know what, they can do that if they want to, but I can also shop somewhere else if I want to.
Right, and people have done that. And and for those listening that have not signed the petition yet, if you go to AFA.net, that's AFA.net, sign the petition, all of your family and friends, get them to sign it, and don't go to Target.
Tell people.
And I add in, if you have signed it, find one more person that hasn't signed
it. Yeah, help us get to 2 million.
Let's double this number up because you see we're making an impact.
Yeah.
We can expand that with additional participation.
And you know what? We find no joy in having to boycott a company like Target. We'd rather not be doing that. But when they do something like try to punish North Carolina for having a reasonable law in effect and to say, and to make things dangerous for their customer base, Target did with this decision. We felt the need to speak out, and evidently 1.4 million people agreed with us, and the boycott is having an impact. Folks, have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we'll see you next time.